We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
In honor of Women's History Month, News and Talk 1380 WAOK presents a special edition of the Sister Soul Talk series, celebrating African American women trailblazers and their accomplishments.
Live well, win well. It is On Point with Wanda and Stokes, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Welcome. It's our Sister Talk series, and we want to welcome Shannon Anderson, author, speaker, entrepreneur. Hi, welcome to Sister Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are so glad to have you, Shannon, and welcome to Sister Talk. We just love to chat and just have conversation as we encourage and inspire one another and sisters about your story and about just things that you've done and what advice that you have for other women as well. And one of the things that you talk about is from sliding down poles to saving souls. Your story, that's cute. I love it. From a stripper to a striver. Very positive words. And before we get into those stories, I actually want to ask you about this whole process of becoming, mm-hmm. becoming greater, becoming better, because a lot of your story is about that. How important would you say that is for women to just become and to become greater and become who they can be and who they are and even more?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to say for that. And, okay. You know, becoming is definitely a process, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So my story is very unique, as you said. I did go from sliding down poles to healing souls. But even in that, I knew that there was something greater for me. Mm-hmm. I knew that that was not the course that God had for my life. And even though I went through it, I learned from it, and I'm able to inspire others from it. You know, that's one of the lessons that I teach as well. It's not where you come from, but where you end up, right? Mm-hmm. So our stories are our glory. So I take my story and I use it to inspire and motivate others. However, had I not gone through the process of the becoming, I would not be the inspiration that I am. So the becoming and coming out of it on the other end is so powerful, so that you can go back and help and inspire others to do the same. So that's why it's so important to become.
Wow, that's good. That's good. When you were in your days of being a pole dancer and a stripper, what do you think gave cause to that? Because sometimes they're just things that are happening in our childhood or as a teenagers, mm-hmm. as we're coming up, that contributes to us going along certain paths.
Oh, so I think about that very transparently. I was sexually abused at an early age. And okay. So you will find that a lot of women who end up in adult entertainment and things of that nature have some type of trauma, usually some type of sexual trauma at an early age. So I was exposed to a lot at a very early age. I grew up in a very abusive household. My father was a raging alcoholic. And so I was just exposed to so many things, and I used the adult entertainment as an escape because I entered adult entertainment when I was 14 years old.
Okay. What do you say to women who are listening right now and still dealing with the sexual trauma that they experienced as a child or even more recently? Like, what do you say to women who are still carrying that?
There has to be a huge level of forgiveness. And forgiveness is the healing process. So I wrote a new book called The Glow Up, as a matter of fact. And in my book, The Glow Up, I walk you through the process that it took me many, many years to get to the other side of my healing. And I think that so many of us are running from the healing that we never experienced it, and we never experienced our greatness. But in order to experience our greatness, we first have to heal from the trauma. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I had to do was actually forgive my father. He was not the person that violated me. I just want to put that out there. But he was the first encounter with a man that I had.
Okay.
And so he pretty much shattered any type of relationship or any type of vision that I have for a man. And so a lot of the abuse that he put on us in our family, it turned into the trauma and into the cycle that I had to face throughout my own life. So forgiving him was a huge, huge step, and also forgiving the people that violated me as well.
And that is a huge step. That is a huge step when women are have more tendencies to hold on to things and to process things a little bit more in depth and the emotional damage that comes with it. What would you say is that first step to forgiving?
Understanding that. For me, it was understanding that it was for me and for not for the person that violated me.
Okay.
And once I understood that forgiving them set me free, I was able to, you know, do that process a lot faster. Because I was like, no, I want them to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My father feels this pain. And then, because I went into therapy at a very early age, I had been seeing psychiatrists since I was 8 years old. My parents admitted me into a mental institution at 11 years old. So I'm very familiar with therapy.
Yes.
And so, you know, once I realized that my father and the people that violate us, they aren't necessarily suffering. You know, they have moved on with their lives, and we're still the ones that are here stuck. So, you know, you have to, you know, make that connection. Like, oh my gosh, they move on with their lives. I'm still the one here that's bitter and my life is falling apart. So I had to first admit to myself that I wanted to forgive and move on with my life. And so it set me free.
There are so many people, Shannon Anderson, who are at home now. So many women home, sheltered in, parenting, schooling from home, quarantined in, unemployed, and they're at home. And the thing about this pandemic has caused them to face a lot of the traumas, a lot of the insecurities, a lot of the things that their busy lives didn't allow them to face. But now
Correct.
They're having to face them. What do you say to women today?
I tell women to look at it, you know, look at the upside of it. Use it to become better, you know. And so once I started to train myself, and it is a process of training, you know, you have to train yourself to see the upside of everything. So even in this quarantine, you know, I was allowed to help other people write and publish their books. And even in this process, I am able to help people heal, because when you're telling your life story, there has to be a level of forgiveness and healing. And a lot of people actually heal through the writing process, which is pretty miraculous. Right. And so, you know, just being able to use the time effectively and come out on the other side with something great. So whether that's starting a business, whether that's writing a book, you know, use it to tap into those things that you've always wanted to do. And I feel like the quarantine is a blessing if you look at it from that way, right?
Yeah, it's what you make out of it. It's a blessing for you.
It is. Mm-hmm. Now you have the time to actually go after the things that you've always wanted to do. So no more excuses. No more excuses.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes we can load our minds with excuses, but no longer any excuses. Shannon Anderson, author, speaker, and entrepreneur, sharing with us today on our Sister Talk series. And when we come back, she tells her story from a stripper to a striver, always striving now. She's a changed person. She's a different person, from sliding down poles to saving souls. When we come back, as we engage in more Sister Talk, what is it like being a single mother? What is it like overcoming and dealing with the battle of domestic violence? We'll talk to her about it, all of that and more, when we come back. It is On Point with Wandalyn Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It is On Point with Wandalyn Stokes. We're News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're speaking with Shannon Anderson, author, speaker, entrepreneur, and she has several books, and we're going to get to that. And feel free to call in and join the conversation. Ask any questions, 404-892-2703. Shannon Anderson, there are a lot of single moms. What tips, what advice do you have for single mothers?
Woo, I have a lot of advice.
Good.
Oh, Lord. So I am the single mother of three children.
Okay.
I had my first daughter at 16. I was 16 years old. By the age of 21, I had two children. I was stripping in clubs. And their fathers were in and out of prison. So trust me, I know the struggle, right? Mm. But I just really, really had to stay committed to my legacy. And even at an early age, I've always been legacy driven. And I've always said, what is it that I want to leave in this world? If I can't do anything else for myself, what can I do? And so we have to look at our children as legacies. And once I started viewing my children that way, I pushed them and I mold them in a specific way, right? And so now my oldest daughter, she'll be graduating with her business degree very, very soon. My son is in school. He's training to be an airplane mechanic. My youngest daughter has some of the highest test grades in the country. She'll be going Ivy League when she goes off to college. And so for me to be a high school dropout, that was a very big undertaking, but I knew that I wanted to create legacy for my family. I wanted to break those generational curses, and the way to do that was for me to find my own healing and to push my children into greatness. So, you know, like I said, it's not easy, but if you look at your children and say, you know what, we're going to do something different than what was taught to me. I'm going to push my children into something greater than what was instilled in me. And that's always been my driving force.
And how do you, as a single mom, how do you keep yourself going when it's just you in the home, being that parent? For the most part, how do you keep yourself going, and what is that necessary strength that you feel other single mothers need?
Well, I definitely strengthen my relationship with God. My spirituality is extremely strong and powerful. And then just the vision, you know, like just being able to see the vision. Okay, if I just stay committed, if I just stay in this thing and really push them to where they need to be, at a specific amount of time, you know, I'm going to be able to see the fruits of my labor. So that's just the way I've always looked at it. And, you know, reading books, definitely praying, getting around people who are elevating and doing more than me. And so a lot of times I found myself disconnecting with people from my past and connecting with new people. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck. They feel like, oh, I don't want to, you know, seem like I'm a traitor or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you're really turning your back, but you have to get around people that are doing and moving and doing more than what you are. So that has been a huge, huge help.
That's right. I have to change that circle sometime. Talk to us about domestic violence. What is a necessary strength that women need who are dealing with domestic violence or who have gone through it to be able to maintain and survive?
Oh, gosh. So my marriage was very, very violent. And so I had one of those marriages where the police were always at my house. My family and his family were always calling, making sure that we were still alive. Like, it just got really, really bad. And one day, I just finally got the strength to leave. And so I would say that even in that situation, I really, really had to think about my children.
Okay.
And I had to think about their safety, and I had to think about what was going to be best for them. And I knew that staying in that situation was not it. I was raised in a battered home. I was raised in a family where my father beat my mother regularly. And I said, I refuse to do that. And so my children were really, really the saving grace for me to really get the strength to say enough is enough, and I'm leaving.
Wow. And that takes a lot of strength to be able to leave a situation like that and to be able to move forward. And what would you say to women today who are just in situations where it seems like their hands are tied and it seems like they can't move forward, whether it's a domestic violence situation, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's just the day-to-day challenges? What do you say to encourage and to move women forward and to tell them, hey, you got to keep pushing?
Yes, keep pushing. It's all a mindset. Once I really, really started doing the work, like I said, and I talk about it in my book, The Glow Up, the work, the mind, once I retrained my mind and saw my situation and said, you know what, I have control. You know, we think that we don't have control, but we actually have control. So, sis, I'm telling you, you have control. I'm giving you your power back. So I got on the phone. I picked up the phone. I called the police. I called shelters. I ran with my children. I checked myself into a shelter, you know. And that was not the easiest thing for me. But once I was in that shelter, I praised God every day. We had nothing, absolutely nothing. But it was the most peace I had ever experienced in my life. I lost my house. I lost everything. But when I tell you, it was just me, my kids, and God, I had not felt that type of peace in I don't know how long. The houses, the cars, the money, the husband, nothing brought that to me. So to say that, you know, I know that a lot of women are caught up because of finance, right? So when I was married, I did not work. My husband provided for us totally. And so I completely understand. I was so dependent on him financially. But when I checked into the shelter, I got my power back. You know, I put out resumes. I went on interviews because they helped me with all of that. I found my own job. I found my own place. And when I tell you, I had moved from a big 5-bedroom house into a 3-bedroom apartment, but you can tell me nothing.
I know that's right.
It was my mansion. You know, I was so happy. And that's what I want to encourage and tell women. Like, once you get your peace, honey, there is no price tag on that.
I know that's right. No price tag on your peace. And we're so glad that you got your peace because it has led you to do some great things in business and even in branding yourself. And so When we come back, I want to talk to you about branding and business, because you went from being a stripper to a striver, from sliding down poles to saving souls. How do you rebrand yourself when you have a certain image that perhaps is negative in the eyes of so many, and now such a positive influence to others? Let's talk about the branding. Let's talk about the business side of you. Shannon Anderson, author, speaker, entrepreneur, right here is Sister Talk, and it's always on point. We're News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's on point with Wandel and Stokes, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It is Sister Talk. That's right. Sister Talk series with Shannon Anderson, author, speaker, entrepreneur. She's a sister. She's a girl that's on fire. We're so glad to have you, Shannon. Talk to us about your business, you know, endeavors and your entrepreneurship, because that's a big step. Anytime anyone steps out into doing their own business.
Okay, well, that's kind of a journey too. But ironically, I actually learned business from stripping.
Okay. Because it is a business. Yeah.
It is a business, you know? Some people would call it the ultimate hustle, right? So, but what happened was, in the early 2000s, I ran across a young lady, and she actually was, you know, doing things bigger than stripping. So she started doing magazines and, you know, making appearances and all that type of stuff. So I was pretty fascinated. So she brought me in and put me under her wing and really taught me the business side and taught me how to come out of the clubs and off the pole and get on the cover of magazines. Mm-hmm, so once I started to do that, it built my name and it built my brand. So I was no longer just a stripper. I was now more of a pinup girl, pinup model. So what happened was, the same clubs that I used to have to pay, because most people don't realize that strippers have to pay a bar fee every night. You have to pay clubs every day to work in them. So the same clubs who I had to pay were now paying me just to do walkthroughs and show up and do appearances.
Wow.
So I flipped the game, and she said, you have to start leveraging your magazine covers. And I was like, what is leverage? What do you mean by leveraging? And she was like, yes, now that you're on the covers of magazines, you can demand your price points. You can demand what you want to make. And so once she showed me that, and I branded myself even as a stripper, I said, well, if you can brand yourself as a stripper, you can brand yourself as anything.
Right.
It really taught me a lot about branding. So now I take myself and I take my story. My story is my brand. I take the things that people would frown upon and I turn it into my brand and I own it.
That's great. What would you say are the first steps in starting a business and building your brand?
The first step is to come up with a concept. So I wanted to, because I knew that God had been telling me that, you know, you need to use your story. Tell people how I helped you overcome. Tell people how you were able to come out of your situation. So the first step in building a brand is really being clear on what it is that you're trying to do and accomplish. Being very clear on the people that you help and serve. So once I got clear on that, that's when I decided to write the book. And once I wrote the book and released the book, then other things came with that, the speaking engagement. And then people were asking me, well, Shannon, how do I write a book for myself? So then that's when the coaching came into place. Wow. And then after I did that, I decided to establish my own publishing company, because there aren't many Black publishers in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And so now that I've done that, I've signed my first author, which is L.A. Wright's hero, Bobby Green. So he'll be releasing his book. He'll be telling his story about how he saved Reginald Denny in the 1992 Rodney King verdict. He was the guy who pulled the white guy out of the truck who, you know, they were beating to death. Yeah. So we're going to release this book soon. And so, you know, it's just kind of opened up into so many different things, but still taking that business mindset, you know, of really understanding who I am and who I serve and how I want to help people. And the way that I do that is doing what I did, and that's sharing, being able to help people to share their own stories.
You know, as a publisher, do you find it being challenging being a female in an industry where you have a lot of men who lead the way in publishing companies?
I have not experienced that as of yet.
Okay.
But, you know, what I would say to that is I'm a very strong woman anyway. So,
okay.
You know, being able to just push through, and I tell women all the time, you just have to push through, and you don't have to be the B word to do that. I'm very clear on still being very feminine. I don't believe that I have to, you know, be the loudest woman in the room to prove my point, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So even being a publisher and coming around other men, they understand what I bring to the table and how I, you know, being a woman and coming from it from a woman's perspective actually helps the publishing industry, because you can't just have it all one-sided.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly. How are you dealing with change? Because, you know, because now we're in a world where society and trends, I mean, they change overnight. So how are you able to, like, deal with the change and stay relevant?
Oh, just staying fluid. You know, I try not to get too bogged down with one track mindedness. I always try to stay open and accept change as it comes. So I'm not a person that's like really, really hard on, you know, I think Grant Cardone said it best when he said, don't change, what did he say? He said, don't change the goal, you know, so the goal is still the same, but sometimes you may use a different, you know, thing to take you there, you know,
okay.
A different vehicle. Take you there, but my goals never change. So we have to understand that sometimes on the journey we may have to change cars.
you know, the way
to get there isn't necessarily the way that you're going to get there. I would have never imagined that publishing would be the way that, you know, I would actually be getting there. I never imagined that would even be part of my business. You know, so when I wrote my first book, I just thought that I would be an author and a speaker. I never knew that the other things would open up. And I tell people that all the time, you can't see the entire staircase anyway. God only shows us bits and pieces. So you just have to take the first step, like Martin Luther King said, you know, and then other things start opening up to you once you take the step.
Yes, and taking that step, would you say that is that key characteristic that entrepreneurs should possess, is that the willingness to take a step?
Yes. Steve Harvey says, just jump. You know, it's never going to be the perfect time. If you're waiting on the perfect time, you will never see it.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you share your life story about the different things that have happened, whether it's the domestic violence or the substance abuse and even untimely pregnancies and just family trouble and things of that nature, sometimes if you just sit for all of these things to pass by, they will never pass by. And so what has kept you moving? What has kept you going?
Hope. You know, just knowing that there's something better. And to me, walking in the unknown is so much better than sitting in the familiar misery. You know, it's like I was so tired of being miserable. I was just like, I'd just rather take the risk of something unknown rather than just sitting and continuing to sit in my misery. And really, you just really have to decide which one is stronger to you, which one is more powerful for you. You know, you're willing to stay miserable or you're willing to be successful. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And that's the risk.
Yeah, that's the risk.
That's the risk that people have to talk about it. And our challenge with, we're in our Sister Talk series with Shannon Anderson, who is an author and a speaker and an entrepreneur. When we come back, we're going to see how Sister Girl balances all of this. How does she take care of herself, raising children, being an entrepreneur, still keeping her body in shape and fit for as a model, as a cover girl for magazines, and then just doing the work of parenting. And how do you do it? Do you take care of yourself? What are some things that you do for you help women to do some self-care and some self-love. We'll talk about it when we come back. It is On Point with Wandel and Stokes. We're News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well, On Point with Wandel and Stokes. News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. It's Sister Talk with Shannon Anderson, an author, speaker, and entrepreneur sharing with us today. Let's go to John from Florida. He has a question for you. Hi, John. Welcome to Sister Talk.
Good afternoon, Wanda. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, and good afternoon to your guests. An interesting topic that you're having. I've known many exotic dancers in the past, and some took the money and put it to some good use, education, school, and everything else. And I know your guest, she's a former exotic dancer. I'm curious, when you were dancing, how did you handle doing the exotic dancing? That's number one. Number two, have you thought about taking this book to another level, possibly creating a movie out of it?
Oh, okay. Good question. So how did I handle the exotic dancing? You mean like as far as motherhood or just in general?
Yes. Yes.
It was interesting. Luckily, I had my mother to help me with my children. So what happened when I started doing magazines, that actually freed my schedule up a lot more. So I was able to come out of the clubs and do a lot more traveling. So I had my mother to watch my children. But I was always able to make my own schedule. So I was always there to take them to school, do their homework, pick them up from school, and all that type of stuff. So the stripping, you know, always allowed me to make my own schedule. And as far as my book, I actually did flip it into a documentary. So it is a documentary, Stripper to Striver. I am in the process of shopping it and looking to release it very soon.
Awesome.
Have you thought about helping some of the women that are still out there dancing? I know they're not dancing too much now because of the COVID-19, but have you mm-hmm. thought about, or has it always been talk? I thought I heard talk about some of the strippers trying to create a union to protect these women because they're taking the monies and not putting it in the right place, not taking care of their families, not taking care of themselves. And basically, at some point, dancing is going to end, and you got to move on with your life.
Correct. Yeah, so I've had many women, you know, who I've mentored actually personally, and I would love to start an organization to really, really make it, you know, larger. So one of the things that I do is I am an ambassador for an organization here in Atlanta that is against human trafficking. So, you know, even with that organization, I would love to maybe have a division where we could help, you know, just exotic dancers. And so even when I was in that world and when I started getting more into magazines and traveling, you know, learning the signs of human trafficking, I was able to look back and say, wow, I've known many women who were actually being trafficked. But back then, I didn't even know what that meant. You know, I didn't even know what that looked like. And so a lot of women are in this industry against their will. So, you know, that's one of the things that I do. I, you know, have my book. Some of the proceeds go to human trafficking. So that's one of the ways that I do that. But I would love to, you know, start my own organization as well. And I would definitely do that in the future.
Thanks, John.
I want to leave her with this.
Okay.
Listen, you know, if she runs into that character in the White House, and he's going to have to leave the White House one day, if you see him, run the other way and run fast.
All right, John. Thanks for your point. Stay healthy, stay connected, stay on point. How do you balance everything, Shannon? How do you balance and take care of yourself? What do you do to do some self-care?
Oh, I take long hot baths on a regular. That is my sanctuary. I meditate. I am looking to go back into yoga. So I do different things to try to keep my mind at peace. And, you know, really, really just take some time to myself. So the long hot baths tell me to do that. I love candles, aromatherapy, nice lotions and things of that nature. So my kids know when I'm in my bath, don't bother me.
Yeah, and how important is that, would you say, to women to make sure that they do some self-care, some self-love?
oh my gosh, it's so important. I don't know where I would be. And, you know, when I started taking the bath, I didn't even realize what it was that I was doing. I did not realize it was self-care. I just wanted a way to get away from my kids for a little while and just have some me time. And so, you know, they become more and more therapeutic for me. So now I, you know, put like salts and things like that into my bath to help with the relaxation of my muscles and all of that. And it helps so much. Like, I feel like a new woman when I come out. And so I did not realize that it was therapy, you know, for me, but it actually has been therapeutic. And that's something that all women can do. You don't need a babysitter. You know, you don't, there's no excuse, right? So you can run a bath. You can put your sea salt. I personally like Himalayan sea salt, the pink sea salt. That's, you know, my personal. But yeah, it really, really takes a lot of the soreness, you know, because stress and all of that stuff really breaks the body down over periods of time. So just finding the small things has helped me so, so much. It does not take a lot.
Yeah, it's just making sure that you do it and it's a part of your calendar. Well, thanks so much for sharing with us on our Sister Talk series today. Let people know, how can they stay connected to you in social media? How can they get your books and how can they just stay connected with you?
So please go to I Am Shannon Anderson on Instagram. You can also find me there on Facebook as well. Go to loveandliveyourmessage.com, loveandliveyourmessage.com, and you can find out more information about me and my books and everything.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Shannon Anderson. Thank you for being a part of our Sister Talk. This has been amazing. This is amazing.
Thanks, Pat.
Hey, keep doing what you're doing. Keep making a difference. And you're so inspiring and so encouraging to so many. That's Shannon Anderson on our Sister Talk series today. And it has been great. And of course, we look forward to it each and every week. And so make sure you are staying connected to us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.